24/7 Sports. He is the recruiting editor for Go Vols 24/7. RC, and I know this time of year or any time Tennessee faces Florida, Vol fans want to be fired up. They want to be ready for that game. And it seems like the more Big Orange people I talk to, the more of them just kind of wish the season was over at this point. That makes me sad. You know, it's rivalry week. People should be pumped up.
Yeah, this is unusual territory for this game, because this is usually, in most years, obviously 2001, it was a similar setup to this when the game was pushed back to December after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. But otherwise, this is a game that's pretty much open SEC play for Tennessee for a number of years now. So there's always a lot of excitement going into it, because there's usually so much unknown, and there's optimism, and there's you don't really know what to expect from either team at that point. We pretty much know what to expect from these two teams now after seven games for Tennessee and eight for Florida. So there's not as much mystery, and that does obviously take away from some of the excitement, because I think Tennessee fans aren't going into this game with a whole lot of optimism that they can pull off the upset. So, yeah, it's unfortunate to see that, but I think it's just kind of a product of where this game has been pushed back to on the schedule, and obviously how Tennessee's season has gone and Florida having a good year and being in position to play for an SEC title on the other side.
Ryan Callahan joins Blaine Bishop and me right here on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Well, Ryan, naturally, some things have changed a little bit in the recruiting process. So I guess talk a little bit about that. And do you seem to think that maybe, you know, some guys may consider doing the same things? Where are they at on the recruiting front for 2021?
Yeah, so it's obviously been concerning for a lot of Tennessee fans the past 5 days or so. They've lost two of the higher ranked players in this 2021 class for Tennessee. And if you don't follow recruiting all that closely all the time, you know, we're a little more than 2 weeks away from the early signing period. So this is really going into the stretch run. It's the time of year coaches would normally be on the road recruiting. The regular season would have just ended in a normal year, and this would be kind of the beginning of a really busy time for recruiting. And so guys are looking to finalize things, and to be losing a couple guys this close to the finish line, it can be tough to replace if you can't get those guys back in your class. And it's tough to make up for losses like that, obviously, this late. So, Demarius McGee, a top 100 cornerback from Florida, decommitted on Thursday. And then last night, the big blow, five-star linebacker Terrence Lewis of Miami, reopening his recruitment. Now, the good news for Tennessee, both players are still considering the Vols, at least haven't ruled them out yet. And, you know, maybe in McGee's case, a little more realistic, but I think both of those guys are still looking at Tennessee enough that you can't rule out the possibility of one or both potentially jumping back in Tennessee's class, but there are obviously other teams involved. So I think each of them is kind of an isolated incident, whereas I think a lot of fans might be looking at it from the outside and thinking this is a situation where everyone's seeing how Tennessee's season has gone, and they're just sort of jumping ship. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think these are guys that were shaky commitments all along because they've had other opportunities. Demarius McGee, for instance, got an LSU offer about a month after he committed to Tennessee, and that was a big offer for him. That's probably the main contender there alongside Tennessee in his recruitment now. So some different situations where on the outside it might look bad, but I think the reality is maybe not as bad as fans might think. But we'll see now if some other guys see this as a sign of Tennessee's class falling apart, and maybe others end up following. I don't think that's the case, but you can't rule out that, you know, as things momentum can snowball when things are going well, it can also go the opposite direction when things are not going well. So if the losses continue to pile up for Tennessee, does this become a bigger trend?
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're on Ryan Callahan, because you can spin it either way you want to. If you're the coach, they're not having a good season, so they could, you know, also sell to them that this is the reason why we want you here to help turn this program around, and you'll be able to compete immediately to get on the football field. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this all plays out with other recruits. And they got to, you know, teeter the line too with, you know, a lot of colleges. I'm interested to see how this impacts, probably not that much, maybe in the 4- and 5-star guys with, you know, with returning seniors now having the option to come back in some instances, how that affects recruiting classes.
Yeah, I've not gotten a great feel for just how much that's going to impact things. But from what I can tell so far, and it's such an unusual thing that I'm not sure even players and their coaches and trainers and people like that who helped them through the process really know how to attack that, because so many players haven't announced yet whether they're going to return since they have that option. So many seniors haven't said, hey, I'm going to the draft, or I am going to the draft. Obviously, you have the usual announcements we've seen from guys who have already said they're going to enter the draft early, or they're foregoing the rest of the season to prepare for the draft, opting out, things like that. But you still don't know a lot about what some of these other teams are going to look like. And in Tennessee's case, we've not had a single senior announce what he's going to do. So that's kind of an unknown that I feel like a lot of players are almost maybe not acting like it's not a factor, but they're certainly not showing any signs of seriously considering it yet. And I'm not sure they know how to attack that just yet, since it's such an unusual thing. So that will be interesting to see. But so far, even with talking to some junior college players, I haven't gotten the sense that people are really basing their decisions on that too much. And part of that might just be they don't have enough information to really read into it.
Ryan Callahan, 24/7 of All Sports.
Ryan, who are some remaining targets out there, maybe some potential good news, some guys that Vol fans still kind of have their fingers crossed that might land with Pruitt and company if all breaks well?
Yeah, so there are still some big names out there that Tennessee could finish with. Now, first of all, for some good news, in the aftermath of these decommitments, we have seen a handful of highly ranked Tennessee commitments come out and say they're locked in, that they're not going anywhere. Caden Salter, a top 50 quarterback, who's one of the stars of this class, or top 50 prospect nationally, who's a quarterback. That's obviously one of the stars of this class. Tennessee needs to hold on to him. He's not wavered at all so far. Catron Evans, a four-star defensive tackle from up in Maryland. Some guys like that have said they're not going anywhere, so that's obviously good news for them. But still some possibilities out there. We mentioned Demaryius McGee and Terrence Lewis are still in play for Tennessee. So until further notice, they're still among the top targets for Tennessee, and we still think they're at least in play, even though some other schools might be maybe slightly ahead of Tennessee right now. I think the Vols are still in it with both of them, and maybe McGee being the more realistic of the two to get back on board. Nylon Green is a big name sort of out there that's getting close to a decision. He's another top 100 player nationally, top 25 in our rankings at 24/7 Sports, a cornerback from down the Atlanta area. I mean, it looks like kind of a Clemson-Georgia-Tennessee battle here down the stretch. Some different people have some different thoughts on who's the most involved there, but Georgia and Tennessee certainly are two of the names we've heard most consistently over the past month or two. And even though Tennessee struggled lately, I think he still has serious interest in Tennessee and has enough of a relationship with some of the Vols coaches that they've got a shot in that one still, and he's maybe announcing within the next week or so. So we'll see about that one. And then a guy that's going to wait till February to announce, but has been involved with Tennessee for months, Tywan Malone, a top 100 defensive lineman from up in New Jersey. So there are still a handful of big names out there, and then some other guys, obviously, they're recruiting to fill some needs. A junior college edge rusher named Byron Young. So they've got some guys out there that can fill some big needs. And still, I think we can still see a lot of movement in this class. They're definitely not done, even though they have 25 commitments and would look like they're maybe finished. They still got a lot of work to do over the next couple of weeks and even leading up to February.
Ryan Callahan on with us from 24/7 Sports. Pruitt said yesterday 16 guys in quarantine, including a quarterback. How available is this team right now from a number standpoint, and what rumors are you hearing about who the quarterback might be that's in quarantine?
Yeah, we've heard enough that I don't know if I can say it with certainty, but there's enough chatter out there that I think it's fair to say that I think Jarrett Garantano is the guy that a lot of people have sort of focused their attention on as the one who might be in quarantine right now, and that would certainly endanger his status for Saturday's game if that's the case. We've heard a lot of talk behind the scenes that Harrison Bailey, the freshman quarterback, might get a chance to play this week and not just in garbage time the way he has in three of the past four games. So that would maybe also kind of align with Garantano being the one that's in quarantine to kind of explain why Bailey might finally get more of a shot this week. But that's going to be interesting if that's the case. That obviously would, I don't know, it could create sort of a dilemma on one hand because, Tennessee fans have been eager to see Harrison Bailey play, but if it takes Garantano being in quarantine for it to happen, will Jeremy Pruitt get any credit for actually playing him if it goes well? It's almost going to cause fans, I think, to say, boy, why didn't you play him sooner? And it took a guy being in quarantine for that to happen. So it's kind of unfortunate if that's the case and if that is what gets Harrison Bailey into the lineup, but that's that's obviously something we'll be watching throughout the week. But I think he really might be in line to play as of right now. But I think Tennessee's got some guys who've been out. They've got some who might have a chance to be back this week in time for Saturday's game, despite being in quarantine right now. Some of those are just contact tracing absences right now. It has hindered what they've been able to do in practice, but it does sound like they expect to be at least closer to full strength going into Saturday's game, and it's not so bad that, you know, we're in serious danger of a cancellation or anything like that, like we've seen with some other games. So as long as everything continues to go as expected the rest of the week, I think they'll be okay. And, you know, missing a few guys here and there, but nothing so bad that it should greatly hinder what they do.
He is at Ryan Callahan 247 from Govals 247 on Twitter. He joins Blaine and Mickey right here on 104.5 The Zone.
Ryan, I have to ask you, it really doesn't matter who's at quarterback. The offense has kind of still sputtered throughout this whole process. Look a little different against Auburn, I guess, a little, you know, diversity and I guess play calling and formations and everything else. But do you think that the OC Chaney is really, you know, on the hot seat because of the way the offense hasn't been productive, no matter who's the quarterback?
You know, I haven't gotten that sense so far. I think certainly some changes this offseason could very much be on the table at just about anywhere, obviously on the offensive side in particular, because they have struggled there. But, you know, interestingly enough, like you said, they showed progress, real progress, I thought, against Auburn, to the point that I kind of said after that game on our podcast on GoVols 24/7, I thought if that game was coming out of that 2-0 start, you wouldn't have thought anything about that performance. It would have just looked like an okay loss against a solid Auburn team. And yeah, it's a missed opportunity, but you lost because of an interception return for a touchdown and a couple missed field goals, and things just didn't go your way. But because it comes at the end of that losing streak, it looks just like more of the same. But they had 464 yards of total offense. And that's a good performance against almost anybody. So I think they feel like they've got something to build on. These open dates, while it's kind of disrupted momentum in a lot of ways, you know, having three of the last 5 weeks off, I think, has really given Tennessee a chance to press reset a little bit in some ways offensively. It might have helped them going into the Auburn game. Maybe it helps a little bit going into this game as well. But, yeah, I don't think that there's enough of a track record, I guess, the last five games to really say that's enough to endanger Jim Chaney's future at Tennessee. But it's something to watch, at least down the stretch, so they revert to the same struggles they had before the Auburn game. Or does this kind of start the beginning of a reversal down the stretch and they play better, and maybe we're not talking about the offense as much in a couple weeks? I think that story's kind of yet to be determined because of you know, you got three games left that decide a lot.
Yeah, I bring up Chaney because I think he's a really good coordinator, and I feel like I'm watching an offense that I had never seen him really – he seems really conservative. So then it makes me think that maybe he has his hands tied a little bit. And I'm just interested how much you hear that, you know, the head man, Pruitt, is kind of saying let's, you know, run the football and not throw it. Because in this modern era of football, defenses aren't how you stop people now. It's with your offense how you're actually stopping people because you're putting up points and making them chase.
Yeah, and I think they what we saw offensively from them against Arkansas, where they were so conservative and ran it 50 times and only threw 21 in that game, I felt like that was a matchup thing because Arkansas's run defense had not been very good, and it obviously showed some of the lack of trust maybe that they had in Jarrett Garantano at that point. But right. But Arkansas, you know, they were dropping eight into coverage a lot of times. It seemed like sort of just a matchup thing. So I agree, though, that we saw an offense against Auburn that more closely resembled what we're used to seeing from Jim Chaney. I felt like some of the creativity we normally would see from him was missing before that. I thought they got back to using, you know, kind of going east to west a little bit more and doing some different things in the short passing game to open things up. They tried to get the ball to some young players. I feel like if we see more of that kind of creativity, fans aren't going to have as much of a gripe with Jim Chaney over what he's doing, because they know he's at least trying to use what they have. Before that, I think it felt a little more frustrating to fans, but you're right. They've got to continue to open things up more, because when you're challenged on offense the way this team is, you've got weapons on this team. You've got to find ways to use them, even if your quarterback play is not, you know, where you'd like it to be, and limiting what you can do effectively.
And lastly, you know, you talked about maybe there'll possibly be a quarterback change through the COVID situation, whoever that may be. Will we get to see continually other players, more so the younger players, to see what they have at this point, being that their record is 2-5?
You know, we haven't seen from Jeremy Pruitt, and given the situation, I would be surprised if we did, frankly, but we haven't seen a desire to go to a sort of a youth movement to you know, just to get some hope and some fresh blood out there. I don't think they're likely to go that route, but there might be some absences this week, at least a few that do lead to some younger players or less experienced players getting in there. So that's at least a possibility. But yeah, you know, fans might be ready to kind of throw in the towel in this season and say, let's get some young players in there and get some hope for the future. I don't think the staff's looking at it that way. And I think Jeremy Pruitt, rightfully so, probably feels like he's still got a lot to play for the final three games. I don't think you need to be conceding much of anything and get blown out in any of these games because you played some players who weren't ready. So I think we'll see maybe a little bit of that, just where some players are ready, like we saw at wide receiver against Auburn, getting guys like Jalen Hyatt into the mix more, Jimmy Callaway, Jimmy Holiday maybe. But aside from that, I don't know that you'll see a whole lot of a youth movement. And obviously, you know, all eyes will be on Harrison Bailey Saturday to see if he gets his first start.
Well, Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, I saw somebody tweet this morning. It's the 3-year anniversary of the day John Curry was fired. And we all remember just what a house fire that was, a gasoline induced house fire for however many days straight. It was just unbelievable to sit back and watch that. But that led to Philip Fulmer getting the job. That led to Jeremy Pruitt getting the job. I mean, we could spend another three shows talking about all that went on. But here we are with Pruitt 3 years later. A lot of people still have a lot of questions about him. Is there anything that could happen this year that could cause Tennessee to just eat that money and move on from, if they lose out, if they wind up playing Bandy and losing? Is there anything that could get him fired this year?
You know, I can't say with any certainty that one scenario would do it and one wouldn't. But I will say this. I'm always, after seeing enough of these over the years now, if you've covered Tennessee, you've seen a few straight coaching regimes go down in flames at the end. And when you see these things happen, that it tends to be a very slow building thing. The season usually takes care of itself. You know, when it's obvious that a change has to be made, that's when a change usually happens. And I don't think we're to that point yet. I think if the next three games are all played and go poorly for Tennessee and they lose all three, That could be a scenario that might force Tennessee's hand a little bit. But I do think anything short of that, I would be very surprised if there is a change this year. I'm of the belief that it would take a loss to Vanderbilt to even put that on the table right now. But I say that acknowledging that all it takes is a couple big money donors seeing, a big loss to Florida or a big loss to Texas A&M or something and getting upset to maybe get the ball rolling on something a little bit more. But right now, today, I think they probably have to lose all three games, including to Vanderbilt, for that to even be a discussion this year, because I really think Tennessee doesn't want any part of a coaching change in this year. The timing, the money involved, there's so many reasons not to do it this year, not to mention it's just Jeremy Pruitt's third year. I think they would really like to get through this year, and if that means just getting a win over Vanderbilt and everything else going status quo, I think they could live with that, just to kind of not have to deal with that this year, frankly.
We got about a minute left. What's your most vivid memory of all the Curry, Schiano show, Fulmer, just that time? Do you have a most vivid memory?
Oh man, it's hard to really pick one. I mean, I'll never forget that Sunday because things were just moving so fast. Everything seemed to be set for Greg Schiano to be the hire, and the next thing you know, you sense the backlash, and I've never seen such a strong movement for something against something, I should say, on social media, and for that to be as effective as it was, just that whole 4 or 5 hour stretch there where all that was happening was sort of slow developing, but you saw where it was headed, and once it got to the point, once we started to hear that it really might fall apart, that Schiano really might not get the job, it was just stunning. So I, not any one moment, but it was just a day we'll never forget because of just how kind of crazy and unprecedented the whole situation was.
RC, thanks for the time, man. At Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter, of course. Go Vols 247 24 hours, 7 days a week, man. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot.